And we always love chatting both college and the NFL with Chris Landry. Check everything out on LandryFootball.com. Chris, it's great to chat with you. I'm with Doug now, so we will be asking you all of these intelligent questions so you don't have to just be dealing with me and getting sick of me. Now we can bring Doug in. You know?
Hey,
speak
good
for
to
yourself
speak.
On that intelligent thing, Grant. I don't know.
It's good to speak with you guys again. Good to hear you again, Doug.
Oh, you too.
I personally think, and I think you and I have discussed this in previous weeks, I think the 49ers have a multitude of problems, and I don't think quarterback is going to make a difference. Now, I may be wrong here, but Colin Kaepernick starting, okay, that's fine and dandy. I'm not expecting to see an improvement, but I wanted to get your take on it.
No, I don't either, but they need to do it. They've exhausted Blaine Gabbert. I don't anticipate it being a big boost, but they need to do it. They need to move forward. And if it's Christian Ponder starting in the last half of the season, whatever the case may be, they've got to move forward and figure out this situation because they're going to have to make a decision in the offseason. I don't expect Colin Kaepernick's not the same quarterback that he was on the team that went to the Super Bowl. But we'll see where he is, how close he could be to that. All of us that were intrigued by how he might fit or not fit into Chip Kelly's system, we'll find out. But I don't have great expectations, but it's time. It's definitely time to at least move on.
Well, the Bills got out of the gate kind of slow. LeSean McCoy has seemed to pick it up. Now, with Chip Kelly going against LeSean McCoy, do you think that he's going to be able to stop him this week, or do you picture 150 like LeSean got last week?
I think there's a chance for him to they're certainly going to give him the football. They certainly want to work it, the run game, the pass game. Buffalo is playing a little better now, and certainly that game against New England gave him a lot of confidence. They're playing better defensively, but since making the move at the offensive coordinator position, they like their ability to get the ball in the hands of playmakers in space. And I think this is a really good chance for them to put some points, and certainly for him to put some yards, and he'd like to do it.
And then there's the Carolina Panthers, and wow, raise your hand if you had them starting off the year 1-4.
Not me.
Not me.
That's for certain. And, here's the thing, though. What jumps out at on tape. This is a line of scrimmage team that's getting beat at the line of scrimmage. They don't have playmakers. They're not an explosive team. They beat you at the line of scrimmage. That's what they've done in the past, and they're not doing it now. I mean, Tampa ran the football right over them. Quincy Rogers did. I mean, it wasn't pretty. And, on the other side of the ball, they're not protecting very well. So that is an alarming sign. And
does that happen when you have pretty much the same personnel other than Josh Norman? How does that happen?
Well, the offensive line on the right side was a problem last year in pass protection. But, to be quite honest with you, there's no real explanation because there is a lot of the same personnel on the defensive front. The back end, yeah, they miss Norman, but that doesn't account for the fact that they can't get off of blocks up front. And that, to me, is could be a combination of things. I mean, it just could be, I don't believe in the quote unquote hangover thing. That's just a soft way of saying you're not playing with a lot of motivation. To me, I question a little bit of heart. I question a little bit of their intensity watching them there. They're not playing with a lot of want to. And that's what they're all about, and, they're not getting it.
Well, so this weekend you got Atlanta going up to my Seahawks in Seattle, and 3-1 Seahawks, 5-1. I don't think anyone probably thought that Atlanta would be 5-1, especially after the way that they started out against the Bucs. But Dante Freeman and Tevin Coleman combined for 1,000 yards so far this season. Will that be beneficial to them? Because it looks like the weather might be a little Seattle-ish, shall I say, in the Northwest this weekend.
Well, they definitely want to use both backs. And what they did last week so effectively is hit those backs in the passing game out of the backfield, and they really took it to Denver's linebackers. It's tough to throw on Denver's secondary. And so Julio Jones was covered up pretty well. They did a good job rolling to his side, but they couldn't cover the backs. Give Kyle Shanahan a lot of credit. The Atlanta offense is a little bit more up-tempo, and Matt Ryan is doing a better job kind of calling things at the line of scrimmage And those backs that you mentioned are playing well, and they're getting good play. Alex Max is grading out well at center. But the thing that surprised me the most was defensively. They've not done anything rushing the passer, and they really got over Denver. So is that going to continue? This Seattle offensive line has not played well. If they can put pressure again, then they've got a shot. But, listen, I didn't think they'd beat Denver last week. I don't think they'll beat Seattle this week. But I have watched them and studied them on tape, and I give a lot of credit to their offense. And if they can generate a consistent pass rush, then Atlanta may be – listen, they're getting close. They're a couple of games away from pretty much separating themselves enough in that division, because they got a couple of bad teams in the division and a Tampa team that's just not ready yet.
We're talking with Chris Landry. Check out his website, LandryFootball.com. And remember, you can get an 80% discount for a one-month trial. That's $2 using the code 2TWO. That's an 80% discount for a one-month trial. Check it out. Just go to LandryFootball.com. All right,
Grant,
Baltimore.
Did you say 80%, Grant?
80%.
That was
about your free throw percentage, right?
There you go. Way to give me some props, Grant.
Chris, I look at Baltimore. They fire their offensive coordinator. I'm reading quotes about how happy everyone is in the Ravens locker room. So I'm going to ask you, all right, personnel is personnel. How much difference do you expect this to make with a Baltimore offense, which has been putrid so far?
You know, my standard answer normally on the outside looking in is – I don't know that it's going to make that much of a difference. However, when you're inside, you see it differently. I said the same thing, or I would have said the same thing about Buffalo. That's worked positively. I mean, didn't we all think that, hey, what are they doing finding the offense coordinator? The defense stinks. And, it's made progress. Is it going to be long-term? I don't know. I will say this. John Harbaugh has done this before. Remember when he fired Cam Cameron and they went on a Super Bowl run. I mean, that's not going to happen. I think that Baltimore is a little bit fool's gold in terms of the early part of the season, but something wasn't jiving right in the communication on the offensive side, and no one knows that better than the people that are in that building every day. So I usually say, hey, I got to go with what they see inside there, but on the surface, I don't see it, being anything that's going to have a tremendous impact.
So, Chris, I have a Dallas Cowboys question, and you obviously you think it's okay, Dak and Tony, but I'm talking about the target of Dak and Tony, and that would be Dez Bryant. And you're hearing so many different things with his injury, and they've been saying that he's ready to play and kind of then he's fighting back. What are you hearing around that? Will Dez maybe get out there this weekend?
I think they want to be cautious with him. You should be cautious. But you know this, you can be cleared medically. It doesn't mean you're ready to play. Mm-hmm. That is, and again, you only know that whether you're on a court or on the field, do you have that explosiveness? If you don't, here's my experience as a coach. Just, we're going to take it slow, and I want you there when you're the most explosive. I don't want you pressing or doing something that makes you less effective than what you can be, and I think that's what they're working through. I think it could happen this week. I don't know, but I don't think they're gonna force it. I think they're gonna kind of let it go naturally, and I think they're gonna take it. From what I'm saying, everything's gone well this week. I think we'll probably know by Friday as to whether they're ready to cut it loose this week.
Chris, were you just logical? We're talking about the Dallas Cowboys, buddy.
Yeah, there's nothing logical there. Yeah, I'm sure.
Boy, isn't that a good point? Wow.
Yeah, it is. It is. It's a great point.
Well, I tell you what else. If there's no better illustration to what you were just talking about than the Houston Texans with J.J. Watt. He was medically clear, but he wasn't ready to go. I mean, he's now out for the year. I mean, don't you wish they could have done that all over again?
Yeah, and, I don't know what happened there. And that's why, the medical people have to clear this. For people wondering how that works, the medical people clear you, but then from that point on, then the coach has to decide you're ready to play or you're not. It's the coach's job to determine whether you're ready to play, but after the medical people say he's cleared medically. So that's the process, and people automatically jump and say, well, he's cleared medically. He's going to play this week. He's going to be fine, be normal. No, that's rarely the case.
Well, Chris, you talked about earlier the Denver secondary and the fact that it's tough to throw on them. Well, this weekend they are facing Phillip Rivers. Now, he doesn't have many receivers because due to injury. Mm-hmm. But this is, in my opinion, maybe a scary game for Denver. Is this something that San Diego, could they pull this off?
Absolutely. I think you're right on to a couple of things. Short week on the road is always difficult. Two, you know, you're dealing with changes on the staff because Gary Kubiak is not going to coach. It's going to sit out with the migraine and issues he's dealing with. So you got some distractions there. And then you got a desperate San Diego team. I'm not sure Mike McCoy, I hate saying stuff like that. I don't even know if he's coaching next week if this team continues to do what it's doing. It's playing well in stretches, and it's blowing games in the most unusual fashion possible. You could make the case they could be 4-1.
Yes, you could.
They're blowing games in ways. I'm watching games, I'm saying this team is doing a really good job. How did they lose it? And you know, I saw the game in last, I know how they lost it, but on film it looks, this team's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, they're awful on special teams. I mean, they can't protect the lead because they can't run the ball well enough. But it's a dangerous game, and I do think, you know, the only thing Denver's favors, they lost last week. You know they're going to be have Trevor Siemian back, it looks like. But, Doug, I'm with you. I kind of looking at San Diego here, and I kind of like them in a desperate mode to possibly win this game.
Well, Chris, they could possibly – I'm sorry, Grant. They could possibly right now – Grant said this yesterday, I think it was. They could be 3-2, 4-1 right now. It's just absolutely. The ball bouncing wrong for them.
And we also said, and how can Mike McCoy not go for that on 4th-and-a-foot? You're 1-3, you're on the road. You only need to make a foot. Your offense is going through the Raider defense like, you know, warm butter, and you bring out a field goal unit. Now, that you can't – you know, the snap and the hole, that's not the coach's fault. But how on earth, Chris, do you not go for that on 4th-and-a-foot in that situation is beyond me.
It tells me one thing. He doesn't have the confidence in him. And it's kind of like on Monday night, I don't know if you're watching – you know, Jameis Winston, he's lighting it up for stretches, and then he makes some bonehead decisions. And what happens with Dirk Cutter? He dials it down because he doesn't trust him. That's what's happening in San Diego. I think that there's a lack of trust in guys getting it done because you're right. They're running the football well in stretches. But, boy, granted, at times they're getting pushed back. And that causes a coach to make some decisions that look questionable and maybe are questionable.
Again, Chris Landry, LandryFootball.com, an 80% discount for a one-month trial. That's $2 using the code TWO. I want to spend a couple minutes and talk some college football, and we have talked a lot about Washington and with Jake Browning because there are so many people in our area that are following him. They are now right there on the doorstep of being a top-four team, so I'm going to ask the question. They don't have the toughest schedule in the world, but if they run the table, are they going into the Final Four of college football?
Oh, they're a lock to do that.
Okay.
But I would disagree on the schedule. Okay, they got the bye week. They'll handle Oregon State at Utah. Then you have to go Strawberry Canyon and play Cal in a different style of offense. Then you got to play USC. Athletes, no, they're not great up front on the defensive line. Arizona State's an underrated team. And then in Pullman on the 25th of November, well, they quite, yeah. I think there are five games. I have all respect in the world for them. If they win those five games, I'd be shocked. I mean, tough stretch to me.
Yeah, I was making reference not to the teams they're playing, but the rankings of the teams they're playing. In other words, that's the point that I was making. All right, now we know that Ohio State or Michigan are going to cancel each other out. I can't see A&M beating Alabama this week, so that would knock – I mean, they're six. That would eliminate them, in my opinion. I was just saying when I look at their schedule, they only have one team remaining that's currently ranked in the top 25. And I was just asking you if at the end of the process, is that going to hurt them at all?
No. If they win out, they're in. Because we got to make some scenario. Let's say – for grins, Ohio State and Alabama win, they're in. Clemson wins, they're in. Washington's in. Houston's been eliminated. Nobody in the Big 12 is going to be in. I don't even think Baylor. So I think they're in. I think the issue becomes if they lose a game, then it becomes who do they lose to, where do they lose it, how close is it compared to, say, if Michigan loses to Ohio State and it's close. You see where I'm going? Then you bring in maybe two, three other teams that they're competing with one loss, which is probably going to happen. That's historically what happens. But Washington wins out. They are in. They are absolutely in. No way they're not in, because we're not going to have five teams and nobody outside of that. Louisville is done now, basically, and Houston's been knocked out, basically, for that position. So, no, I just think it's, to me, it's, I think they're in it possibly with one loss, depending on who the loss is to, but that's going to depend on, you know, I mean, I don't know if they're going to make it. I think they're going to be in competition for that last spot. When it's all said and done, historically, you know what happens, Grant Doug, is we may have one team that's unbeaten and the rest are going to be one losses. So we're going to have to – we can seed them right now. It ain't going to be that way in about 5-6 weeks. It's just going to – it's going to be topsy-turvy. But I think Washington's right in the middle of it. And the thing I would say, they're very good, but they're still young. So are they going to win those five games with three of them being on the road all in succession, back-to-back-to-back-to-back-to-back? That's a big ask. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if they can. They can, but that's going
to
be tough.
Grant, I have to, that was a great question, because I have to agree with Chris. But, Grant, you know, the one that scared me, to be honest with you, was the Oregon game, because they historically have not played well down there.
Right.
But the other one that Chris mentioned is that Washington State. That's a rival game, Grant. You
yep,
and I talk
absolutely.
About it all the time. They could
absolutely.
Go to Pullman and throw a stinker
yep.
up.
And,
yep.
and here's the thing. It's because I've been there a bunch. And there's a better than 50-50 chance it's snowing or sleeting
yep.
sideways, and it's, you know, like 12 fumbles
the
in the game.
Right.
And
Chris, you've been to Pullman, Washington?
Oh, gosh.
Oh, boy.
In fact, I've been there several times. I used to spend extra at the Holiday Inn just to get a room without a view.
Beautiful.
But Luke Falk, they are really good, and that defense at Washington State is playing really good. So, even if it's, you know, great weather, which I don't laugh, it's Pullman, I know, but even if we don't have bad weather,
sure,
Washington State can play with them. So I think the Pac-12 is a little underrated in terms of they've got good quality. Now Stanford's a huge disappointment. Oregon's a huge disappointment. I get that. I don't see a great team there, but I think the teams that I mentioned can all win.
Hmm.
And you know, the Washington Oregon game. You guys know this. That's a big rivalry game. That's
yeah.
like Tennessee and Florida.
Yes, it
right.
is.
In fact, it's the same thing in that Washington hadn't beaten Oregon in 12 years, just a dozen years, just like Tennessee hadn't beaten Florida. So I kind of had a feeling that they would put it all on them. And how about Oregon now? They can't play defense.
Awful.
And now they can't
Terrible.
Score.
Wow. Terrible.
Well, it's a,
terrible.
It's
hey, that Duck's not going to have any biceps or
no,
anything.
No, he's
doing
gonna
no,
he's
going to
look
man.
Like he's going to have duck legs, duck arms.
Oh, that is beautiful. Would you be shocked, surprised, if Tennessee upsets Alabama, particularly when you look at all the guys that it looks like Tennessee has out for this game? How would you characterize it if you come in next week and I'm talking to you about a Tennessee win?
I'd be surprised. Not shocked, but I'd be surprised. If Tennessee does something they haven't done all year, play really well for four quarters, they've got a shot. At home, they're an explosive team, but they do have a lot of injuries. Alabama will methodically, I think, force them into mistakes, and I think they'll pull away in the second half. But, no, I wouldn't be shocked. I think they'll take care of business. I think the Buckeyes will go on the road to Camp Randall and take care of business against Wisconsin. You know, I'm curious to see now. A little, it's not going to happen, but NC State may play Clemson a little bit better than people might think. Although I think Clemson will win, and I'm looking forward to the UCLA Washington State
yep.
game. Before I mention, that's going to be interesting. As Mike Leach has got his guys called his team out early in the year, but now
sure
he's
had.
Got them playing
sure did.
Well.
Well, I'll tell you what's great. You know, as you listen to Chris each and every week, not only do we talk about the NFL, but he's got everything going on with college football. He's got scouting reports. He's got matchups. And when we get closer to the draft, I mean, you're dialed in. This is a phenomenal opportunity. Go to LandryFootball.com. You get an 80% discount for a one-month trial. That's only $2. Use the code 2TWO. Chris, great stuff. We'll look forward to doing it again next week. Enjoy the weekend of college and the NFL. And, again, always great to have you on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks a bunch. Great to be on with you guys. Enjoy your weekend.
Thanks, Chris.
All right. Good stuff right there. Chris Landry, again, check it out, LandryFootball.com. We'll be right back. This is Sports 1140 KHTK. Always good to talk with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. So I flew to Las Vegas today and then dropped my bag off real quickly at the hotel, hopped in a car, and then got here. And so I was trying to keep up to date on everything that was going on. And right before we went on the air, Doug, there was a story in Deadspin about comments that Jeff Petrie made as it relates to Sacramento Kings owner of Vivek Ranadive. Now, Doug, you had Sam Amick on from the USA Today on Monday when I was in a meeting with the NBA referees because Sam had a lengthy question and answer with Vivek. And today, Jeff Petrie came out. And the way I see this, Jeff is extremely loyal. Jeff was sticking up for the people that lost their jobs in the change of ownership. You know Jeff very well. I know Jeff very well. And so that doesn't surprise me at all that Jeff would stick up for the people that worked for him. I completely get that.
Right.
A lot of people are making this into a huge deal. Here's what I do know, okay? Vivek Ranadive has spent a lot of his own money investing in this city. Okay, he is the owner of the Sacramento Kings. Has he been perfect? No. Has he made some mistakes? Yeah, he talked about that in Sam Amick's question and answer. I love the way things are going right now. I think his relationship with Vladdy and what Vladdy is doing and running the team is the best that it's ever been.
Yep.
I think that's part of the maturation process. I understand where Jeff's coming from. Jeff signed you. You know Jeff. He's very loyal. Jeff is that's what Jeff is. And so, you know, now people are trying to make this into a war. Hey, Vivek had one thing to say. Jeff wanted to set the record straight from his perspective when he was in the front office. I get that. You know, again, I understand that in this day and age, controversy sells and everyone wants to talk about it. It is what it is. You know, to me, I'm getting ready for a season that starts 2 weeks from tonight. And if people want to call in and talk about it, hey, you're more than welcome to. That's what we have. We are a sports station. This is an open forum. We take calls. I've been on the air with Doug now for an hour and a half. I haven't received one call on it, but I'm getting people hitting me up on social media. Hey, you know what? Don't hide behind, you know, 140 characters. If you want to call up and talk about it, the numbers are 339-1140, 800-920-1140. If you think just because we are the flagship station of the Sacramento Kings that we can't talk about issues that are sometimes delicate, well, you're wrong. I've been doing this show for 21 years. I've walked through minefields the last several years in every way, shape, or form as it pertains to, you know, making the analogy to sports talk radio. So I don't have a problem with it. But here's the other deal. You know the numbers. If you want to call up and talk about it, talk about it. It's really that simple to me.
Well, Grant, you know, when you got a story, there's one thing that is true about a story. There are two sides to the story. So the only way we probably get to the bottom, you know, truly the bottom of that is like a presidential debate. But I really loved what Sam did with the article. I loved what Vivek did as far as opening up. And I understand to your point about Jeff, because you're right. Jeff is very loyal and he wants to protect the people that were underneath him and how that whole thing went down. And, you know, when there are separations and different things like that, you're going to get a whole bunch of different stuff. So that's just where we're at. But I agree with you. We have not been in a better position with Vivek at the helm and Vlade handling things. I love the way and the direction with the hire of Jaeger, the draft picks, different things that have went on. Is it perfect? No, it's not perfect, but it's definitely trending up.
There is no doubt about that. 339-1140, 800-920-1140. And again, just to, you know, end on what I was talking about. Hey, guess what? Social media is great, all right? And it's very easy to hide behind your phone and just write in whatever you want, okay? If you're not going to be man enough or woman enough to pick up the phone and call, then you know what? You don't really have a lot of validity, all right? If you really want to talk about something, that's what Doug and I are on the air every day for 4 hours. Call up and talk about it. We have scheduled guests that we have to get to. You know, I'm wide open. Bring it, man. I'm not going anywhere. You know, if you listen to me on this show for 21 years, on tough days, I don't call in sick. I come into work every day. You know, I'm here. Doug, you know. I mean, gosh, right? I mean,
well,
hey,
they
you got to take the good
with
the bad.
With you, man. I've heard you tear some people's head off. So, listen, you got 140 characters, Grant, and it's 50,000 watts. So if you want to take a shot at it,
amen,
call it in.
That's right. All right, let's get to Gordon. You're on with Grant and Doug. What's up, Gordon?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's interesting you bring that up, Grant, because I was reading that exact same article on the Deadspin with Jeff Petrie and stuff, and I kind of found it interesting what he said regarding, you know, what his thoughts of Vivek were and the whole change of ownership and the Maloofs and stuff, and then speaking about, you know, Keith Smart and the Malone issue. And to me, it looked like it was almost one-sided, per se. I could be wrong, but it looked like they were going kind of back and forth saying someone was a liar, and is what I got from it.
All right. Thanks, Gordon. Appreciate the phone call. If you want to chime in, 339-1140, and again, 800-920-1140. By the way, just for the folks that are diehard Raider fans or follow the team or excited about the 4-1 start, we will have the Nation coming up at 5 o'clock with Lincoln Kennedy. All right, let's get back to some more phone calls. Who do we have, Chris? Sherwin. Hello, Sherwin.
Hey, Grant. How you doing?
I'm good, Sherwin. What's up?
I'm fired up for the King season since my 49ers aren't looking so good, and that's that. But as for Vivek Ranadive, I think that Sacramento needs to give the guy a break. I mean, he saved our team in many ways. And I think it's okay to make mistakes. Mike Malone, the whole situation we all know was a bad deal. But I can't help but think that there's a little tinge of racism involved in this, and I don't want to make this that about that, but I happen to be of Middle Eastern descent myself, and I feel it sometimes. And I just hope that Sacramento understands that this guy is investing over $50 million of his own money to try to save a team for Sacramento, and I think we should all get behind him no matter what the history was.
Well, first of all, I don't think I couldn't disagree with you more on your race comments. I don't know how anyone could read into that and come up with anything that has to do with race on this particular topic, and I think it's sad that anytime there's a disagreement between two people of different ethnicities, the race car comes up. I think that's highly unfortunate. All right, let's get two more phone calls at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. You know, you just can't use race as a cop-out all the time, folks. There are a lot of issues in our country that involve race and are very serious and need to get fixed and need to improve, okay? But just because, you know, you have one guy say one thing and another one say anything and you automatically assume it's racial, I mean, that's sad. That is just sad. It really is.
People versus people. I agree with you, Grant. We're going to have some disagreements, and that's where we have a forum, and we can come and we can talk about it and be open about it and try to give our sides. Nothing is ever really going to get solved. That's not what we do, but we're going to give our opinions.
Amen. We'll be right back. The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie on Sports 1140 KHTK. Don't forget The Nation with Lincoln Kennedy coming up at 5, but we want to get some phone calls in before we get to that. Grant Napier, Doug Christie, and we get to John. Hello, John. How are you?
Hello, Grant.
What's happening?
Not much, man. Hey, I just want to say, you know, people's looking at Vec the wrong way. He's a businessman, first and foremost. And, you know, he came in and he's more than tripled his money, if I'm not mistaken. So whether, you know, he wants to be the front face of the organization, I think that he gave Vladdy a lot of, like, love to be the front face of the organization. And he stepped back a little bit, which is awfully good for the organization. But, you know, he wants a winner. He wants to be out there, you know, like somewhat like the Clippers owner, which is a great owner. You know, even like the Warriors owner, they're having fun and they're smiling, and he wants to be, you know, he wants to have a good time also. And basically he's put his work in as the businessman. You know, he's doubled his money up for the franchise and for the majority owners. I just think we're looking at it the wrong way, you know. Of course, the team has to get better, and that's Vladdy's business, and Vladdy needs to make that happen. But he's also showing that he could open up his pocketbook, too. You know, he's not being stingy with money. And I think he's doing a good job overall.
John, appreciate the call. Thank you very much. Let's get to Ramiz. Ramiz, you're next here on Sports 1140. Hi, Ramiz.
What's up, Grant? What's up, DC?
How you doing, man?
Pretty good. Got 3 points real quick. First of all, Grant, DC, I think Vivek being the owner is a breath of fresh air. Instead of having the Maloof reign of, you know, relocating several times. Grant, about to go to opening night for the Golden One Center, man.
Awesome.
Haven't been there yet.
Oh, you're going to love it.
But I'm looking forward to the house that Boogie's about to build. And Grant, question for you, man.
Yes, sir.
How do my Cowboys look, man?
They're 4-1. They look pretty good. There's a long way to go. They're Grant, a long way to go.
Grant,
long way to go.
That's with a third-string quarterback, Grant, and a rookie.
No, he's playing well. Their offensive line is doing a great job, and there's no question. I don't think anybody expected them to go 4-1. But what I am telling you, Ramiz, there's a long way to go.
And I know you're a big Giants fan, man, and I'm even shocked that your Giants are 2-3. I'm shocked.
I'm not shocked. They just lost road games at Minnesota and at Green Bay. I'm not shocked. I mean, Dallas has got to go at Green Bay and Minnesota. Washington's got to go there. I'm not shocked. I mean, those are very difficult places to play. I'm not shocked at all.
DC, this is for you, man. You're my favorite Kings fan back in the early 2000s, mm-hmm. and now DMC is my favorite Kings player, man. Thanks a lot.
All right, I appreciate Ramiz. It, man. Thank you very much, Ramiz. And I'm not shocked by New York either. I'm a little bit happy, though, Grant.
Now. Now, I will have a remote control to turn your mic off whenever I want.
I knew it was coming.
You're
man.
A beauty. You're a beauty. All right, let's get to AC. AC, you're on with Grant and Doug.
Hey,
AC, what's up?
Hey, I tried to look for you at the arena the other night, Grant, but you left Jerry high and dry for a while, so I went back to my regular seat.
Yeah, you know what? I was sitting with my wife because it's the only opportunity that I'm going to have to sit with her for a game because all the other games are on TV. So forgive me. I was up in our regular seats with her, and we spent the evening at the arena together.
Yeah, I figured as much. You're exactly right. The only time you actually get to have all the responsibilities off your shoulders. So anyway, it was kind of fun, and obviously it's always good to get a win, even if it's against a Israeli team. But I just wanted to tell you that the arena is even better than I thought it would be. It's fantastic, and I already told my wife we're never going to be upper-level folks again. It's always going to be lower bowl for us. So anyway, thanks to you guys for putting Doug on there too.
Thank you, AC.
Love having you on there, man.
Appreciate it.
Your response and stuff. Have a good one.
Hey, thank you very much, AC. If you want to get in, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Let's check in with Joey. Hello, Joey.
Hey, guys. Thank you for taking my call. It's a pleasure to listen to both of you guys at the same time.
Thank you.
Hey, I have a question. Okay, Grant, you being obviously the closest to the team and also Doug, in your eyes, what do you see different with this Kings team?
First and foremost, defense.
Yeah, I was listening to the games because of my job. So I listened to the games on the radio, and it definitely sounds like I'm just glad they have Ty Lawson. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Well,
defensively, Grant. Defensively, I agree to Joey. Defensively, Joey, I see them. I told Grant this yesterday. I see them picking up in the backcourt. That is something that, in my opinion, is an absolute. It has to be done. You got to pick up. Take time off of the shot clock. The effort. Guys are getting through picks, fighting over picks. There's a better communication out there on the floor. So that means that they're spending time defensively to try to get a game plan, and that is going to go so far during the season. And then offensively, I see some of the corner set, and I think Grant knows that's the stuff that we used to run where you're passing, and then all of a sudden you'll just learn how to play basketball. So that's what I see, Joey.
All right. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. Again, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. Don't forget The Nation coming up with Lincoln Kennedy here in a couple of moments, right after the top of the hour. Good stuff going on today. We love your feedback, regardless of what you want to talk about. The Giants, their season is over. We spent a good portion of the first hour talking about that and the failed bullpen. And if you're just joining in, you know, real quick synopsis of what I had to say. These are the problems that this team had for the last 3 months. And you just could not think that because it's October that those problems were going to disappear. It's the same problems you had in July, August, and September. And then just because the games counted – and by counted, I mean just because they were playoff games doesn't camouflage. It doesn't take away what the real problem with the Giants was for half the year, and that's their bullpen. And we saw it in full display during the Cubs series. And I'm not surprised one bit. I'm really not. I'm not surprised one bit.
You know, Grant, a lot of times, to your point there, you can gloss over winning can do that, and they closed out the season really in good fashion. But that thing that is, you know, the thing in your side, it always comes back to bite you. It's really telling that it ended up being their bullpen, because that's the thing that they struggle with in the second half of the season, that all of a sudden they didn't make that move and get themselves a closer. So to your point, yeah, I agree. Unfortunate.
All right. We have another call, Chris. Doug, you're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie.
Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
We're well.
Good. Hey, Grant, I called last week after the Giants had beat the Mets, and I gave you that crazy idea if I was managing that game, and I said I would go back like an all-star game and put my starters in.
Yeah, but the problem with your call is you wanted Samardzija to go into the bullpen, and he was starting the next day. So okay, then correct me if I'm wrong, but maybe you were a different caller, but go ahead.
No, it might be the same one. But what I was saying, though, is that not when Cueto was going to go Thursday. So even Bumgarner pitched the day before. Could you throw the guy out there for one batter or two batters just to see if you don't have any confidence? I mean, if you're out there about winning and those guys get paid a lot of money and you make great decisions, you don't get them all right. But if you're out about winning, you're going to throw your best guys, as they did in 2014 when they brought Bumgarner out in Game 7, after on a couple of days rest as
you
well.
Know, guys don't come out of the bullpen and they throw the number of pitches, and thank you for the call that Madison did, and then have one day and then come in the next day. I mean, that very rarely happens. I mean, you got to be realistic about this. It's 4:55, time for 2016 year-end clearance, jacuzzi of Sacramento .com. It's always easy to go back and say, well, they should have done this, they should have done that. Here's what I do know, Doug. Mm-hmm. Bruce Bochy used every available pitcher coming down the stretch in September, and then in the playoffs, with the exception of Casillas, who did not deserve to get another chance. I mean, I can't really blame Bochy. Yes, you might second guess him taking more out. You and I discussed that maybe he should have faced at least the first batter in the ninth, and if he gets on, then take him out. But I mean, good Lord, there was nobody that stepped up in the Giants bullpen that said, hey, I can do this. This is my job. Nobody.
You know, the only guy I will say that I watched when they moved Romo to closer, I mean, he was really excited about taking on that responsibility and trying to make it
and
happen.
Failed.
And he failed. I totally agree with you. But I agree. Bochy tried every single thing that he did, and to the last caller, Doug, it's unfortunate, but you can't ask Bum. I mean, he was the starter, the middle guy, the setup guy, the closer, and now you want him to come back on one day's rest?
Come on. Not happening.
Come on.
Not happening. All right, the Nation. We have a lot to talk about. Lincoln Kennedy. We'll talk Raider football next year. The Grant Napier Show with Doug Christie.